Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's the day after Super Tuesday, and does it mean anything? What are the takeaways from Trump beating Nikki Haley in 14 out of 15 contests? Well, Nikki Haley won in Vermont, which is, having been there once, pretty leftist. Probably more leftist than even Oregon is. So what are the takeaways, huh? Out of all of those 15 states, you know, Trump, I mean, Haley beat Trump in Vermont by 4 percentage points. Everywhere else, it was a massive blowout, with the exception of Utah. Now, what's wrong with Utah? I mean, Trump only beat Haley 58% to 41% in Utah. Wouldn't you think that in conservative Utah, I mean, with all the Mormons and, you know, the great U.S. Senator Mike Lee, as opposed to the Rhino Senator Newt Romney, or not Newt, what am I saying? Mitt Romney, the Mittster. Don't you think that there would be the same kind of predictable result? Why did Trump not do as well in Utah as he did in all these other states? I mean, in Oklahoma, 82% to 16%. Tennessee, 77% to 20%. Texas, 78% to 17%. I mean, just go on and on. Trump winning big against Nikki Haley. Now, she's dropping out today. That's understandable. But what are the takeaways from this? What do you think's going to happen? By the way, did you experience the outage at Facebook, Instagram? Was this just, there are reliable sources now saying that this happened because of attack from China? Is this a trial run for China to begin attacking to disrupt everything in our world and finding some way for it to, I don't know, resemble, maybe blame it on Trump? I mean, of course, the left tries to blame everything on Trump, right? What do you think about that? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Christine Drazen is coming back to run for the House again. Now, why would she do that, huh? Why would Christine Drazen come back and challenge the guy who succeeded her? A Republican, former combat Marine from Fallujah, James Heeb, was slinging rounds downrange, Representative James Heeb, as a Marine, along with another great Marine in the Senate Majority Office, Justin Brecht. When I arrived in Iraq, they were still kicking in doors and getting shot at and shooting the bad guys in Fallujah. That's Representative James Heeb. Now, why is it that the House Republicans want to go after him? I'm just curious. With Christine Drazen, what is, now I thought Drazen was going to run for Secretary of State, you know, since she lost the governorship. Why is it that she now is coming against a far more conservative, MAGA-loving Republican? She ain't MAGA, folks. Why? Why do you think that is? We'd love to get your take on that. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. What are the takeaways from last night's Trump beatdown of Nikki Haley all across the country? Now, she's dropping out. What are the takeaways? And why is it that in Utah, Trump only beat her by, like, what, 17 points? When he destroyed her by many more. What do you think that is? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. There's some other news. Lawmakers approved $30 million for summer school programs. Now, the reason I bring this up, and then I'm going to go to Ronnie. Ronnie, hang on. The reason I bring this up is because I have some experience with summer school programs. If they are done right, they really are powerful at getting kids who are failing up to speed. And and I'll tell you why, because you get specific one-on-one tutoring is really what it boils down to. And I've seen the results of it, friends. Now, they allocated some money last year. Okay. And a Democrat from Hillsborough, Susan McClain, wanted $50 million. They only gave her $30 million. That's still good. But it's more money than they got last year. This is a good thing. The problem is, if it is still woke summer school, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't achieve anything. If it is summer school that is focused in the areas that failing kids really need, like all of the parts of the state policy, you know, where they have reduced or eliminated graduation requirements, you know, like reading and writing. Things that are absolutely, especially reading, folks, if you can't read, you are doomed in life. And I'm telling you, that's what summer school programs can do if they are the proper ones. They're not. They'll fail. If they're focused on the same reproduction, racism, recycling agenda of the left, because that's what's being taught in schools today, and you guys know it. If it's focused on that, it'll fail. If it's focused on what I have seen actually work, and by the way, not just in Oregon, all across the country, reading, writing, arithmetic. Those are the foundations of a successful life. So kudos to the legislature for doing this. My guess is you will see varying successes with it based on what local school districts decide they want to do. Anyway, lots going on today. We'll get to all of it. Let's go to the phones immediately. Let's talk to Ronnie. Ronnie, good morning.
Good morning. Three points. Where does Drazen and Willard Romney, that's his real name, got in common?
They're both rhinos.
Yes, they are. And they also known to do deceptive things behind, not to help the party, but to destroy it. James Hebe, I know him. I talked to him as a fellow vet. He's been a good servant, especially. He was one that walked out of the building last year as a representative against that gender mutilating bill, House Bill 2002.
He was the only one.
On first bills.
He was the only one who walked off the floor on another bill.
Yes.
He's the only Republican in the House, and good for him for doing that.
To make a long story short, Willard Romney, Muttley, as I would call him, basically don't care about this country. Power, enviousness, and control. All three from the pits of hell is what he cares about Drazen, as I called her when I told her at the Salem Airport when she was running, you got to talk to the people. She don't talk to the people. You got to remember, she was also involved in Senate Bill 15 where she could have walked out or this, that, and other in the House in 2021 session on 1510. Senate Bill 1510 that taken away law enforcement rights and enforced the law on these crackheads, enforced the law and other things. She just basically like on Police Academy, Officer Hooks. She's got that soft voice, but she don't know how she wants to vote and it's everything else, but she won't make a stand at all. But on the other hand, I see her as a divider. She put the nail in the coffin. She don't care about Cambieri. She loves her name, just like some other people that wants to be a national committee man. But they'll use that same tools, even though they don't care about our children, even though they don't even stand up. They don't even turn nothing in on these last bills that's been run through the state. It's just selfishness.
It is.
And division. And you got to remember one last thing. When you got Bruce Starr and you got Michael Klein running in the house, Bruce Starr somehow is in my county, in Polk County, going to run for Boquist's old seat.
Right.
And McLean in the Senate, you know, just say you got Knope and Ricky Breeze Iverson, except they was from the past. They're the one that divided since 2009 the party up in this state where it has no bullocks. And if you don't believe me, look at the voting records. Look at the grifts that they've done. I mean, you got Greg Smith out east, $186,000 for a job. And somehow they did an investigation on him. He made over $1 million off of various entities. People that are serving should not be serving to line their pockets, notoriety, or anything
else.
Or appeasing the enemy.
Under
they should
Oregon
be serving
law.
The people. That's all.
It's all legal. Sadly, you are so correct. Hey, Ronnie, thank you. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
It is going to be an interesting election season, to be sure. The Super Tuesday bloodbath is the headline on the Liberty Daily. There are 9 takeaways from yesterday. By the way, it's a funny cartoon. They have Trump with a chainsaw. The bloodbath. Trump pivoted immediately to the general election, didn't even bother to mention neocon Nikki. But it's interesting. The headline says Dementia Joe lost a Democratic caucus to an absolutely unknown. He lost a Democrat where? In American Samoa, folks, to a guy by the name of Jason Palmer. Nobody knows. Wow, Nikki Haley's going to drop out. What are the takeaways? By the way, at the bottom of the hour, State Representative Ed Deal is going to join us to talk about House Bill 4002 and why he voted against it. You don't want to miss it, folks. Back in a moment, 6:20.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
We are back. It is 22 minutes past the top of the hour. 503-589-1220. The Power of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Always you can send me an email. One of two email addresses, jeff@1220.am, jeff@kslm.news. By the way, we'll get all of the shows up on the podcast because producer Amanda is back from Bend. We'll get all that done for you. I know several of you have commented to me about how we need to get caught up. Yes, we do, and we will. It's okay. We promise that. Before I get into 9 takeaways from Super Tuesday showdowns, let me just remind you Well, let me tell you a little story. Yesterday, I got my final inspections, and I passed for my new home, folks. I passed with flying colors. Thank you, Lynn County Building Department, the entire crew there. Everybody from Steve Wills, Alyssa Bowles, everybody at the counter, all of the inspectors. They were just fantastic to work with. So blessed to live in a county that gets and understands the importance of customer service. And they do. I passed yesterday. Now, what that means is I get to move into my new home. Now, that's all fun and exciting, except I got to finish ordering all the stuff I need from Mike Lindell at MyPillow. Because I am. From bedding, sheets, comforters, more Giza Dreams premium My Pillows, all of that. I got to buy more of it now. And I haven't gotten it all ordered, but I'm gonna. And I got to do it today because I'm going to need it really fast. You can too. You can support your own liberty because Mike Lindell's every day fighting out there for you. And if you watch War Room, which I watch on Real America's Voice after this show's over with, that is Steve Bannon's show, Mike Lindell's on there constantly. And he's telling you what it is that the folks, they're having great success in courtrooms and in counties. Over 200 counties now in America have decided they're going to go away from machines or in the process of deciding. And they're going to go to hand counting, hand balloting. Good. Good for them. Mike Lindell has been driving that bus all across the country. You can support him in that entire process by buying great American-made products at huge discounts from MyPillow.com. You get the discounts if you use the promo code specific to this radio show, PC23. Those are the initials of the show, Political Coffee, PC23. You get all these great discounts, just like I'm getting. Go to MyPillow.com. Make your life better because you will love his products. I do. I use an awful lot of them, and I'm going to be using more of them in my new home. PC23, MyPillow.com. 9 takeaways. Okay. I'll tell you, the biggest is immigration, abortion, the war in Gaza, taxes, economy. Those are the main things that were on people's minds. Okay. What's interesting is that this, obviously, before yesterday, Trump had won every caucus, every primary, except one. That was the one in Washington, D.C. That's very understandable. Yesterday, again, Trump dominated 14 of the 15 Super Tuesday contests. Trump's got to have 1,215 delegates. He's got something like, I think, 900 now. Now, he could secure the nomination as early as March 12. Now, I'm telling you, this sets in motion other things. We'll get to all of that in the coming days, but I'm going to tell you it's going to culminate with the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. That's where this is headed, folks. By the way, there were protest votes yesterday, like happened in Michigan. There were more places. Over 19% of Minnesota voters protested against Biden. They chose uncommitted. Protest votes were also recorded in Alabama at 6%. By the way, that was 19% of Minnesota. Huge Somali Muslim population. Very upset that Biden is helping Israel in the war against Gaza. Anyway, Colorado 7 points, Iowa 3.9, Massachusetts 9.2, North Carolina 12.7%, Tennessee at 7.9. Now, it doesn't mean that all those people, of course, are going to vote for Trump. They're not. But some will. Now, here's what's interesting. Trump's influence is being credited with Steve Garvey. Remember the great baseball Hall of Famer from the Dodgers? Who basically placed first in the jungle primary in California over bug-eyed, lying Adam Schiff, the U.S. Senate. The top two finishers advanced to the general election. Now, we'll see if he can win, of course, the general election. But there are other lessons from all of this. The Republican lieutenant governor in North Carolina, Mark Robinson, a black conservative, furniture manufacturer, in 2018, won the nomination to run against the incumbent governor, actually, who can't run again, by double-digit margins. Now, there's a lot more here, and we're going to get to it because this, folks, I'm telling you, this impacts us in Oregon if they don't assassinate Donald Trump. Now, when we come back, State Representative Ed Deal joins us to talk about why he voted no on the Measure 110 fix bill. You don't want to miss it. You might be surprised at what you're going to learn. Back in a moment at 6:30.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes before the top of the hour. A picture says a thousand words, folks. And I'm going to tell you about that in a moment. Plus, just in a moment, we're going to chat with State Representative Ed Deals on the line, who is going to share with us House Bill 4002, why it probably doesn't do much to solve the illicit drug problem that's creating so many crime issues for us in Oregon and homeless issues. You might be surprised to learn why it isn't probably going to work, why he voted against it. All that in just a moment. Got to remind you, you know, what is it? 27 degrees out. Is it kind of cold out there? If you're not comfortable at home because your heating and cooling system just ain't working right, you need to get it fixed. That's why you need to call Freedom Heating and Air, and you need to call them today. And they'll get out to your place today. And they'll fix it because the cold nights aren't finished, folks. If you think the winter is done, it ain't. Give them a call. Freedom Heating and Air, 503-580-1456. 580-1456. Or check out their website, freedomheatingandair.net, freedomheatingandair.net. What is this picture that says a thousand words? Thanks, Tim, for sending it to me. It is a picture of the southern border wall. And you know what's on, like, every few feet? One of these official safe vote ballot drop box sites. Yeah, it's superimposed, but think about it. Millions of illegals, and federal judges are ruling that states have no right to ask for voter ID in certain circumstances for federal elections. So you might as well put ballot drop box sites right there at the border, at the wall. You know, so when they come across, they can register to vote, because you can't check, at least in some places. Picture says a thousand words. Wouldn't that be an interesting billboard? Joining us is State Representative Ed Deal, who is, I'm honored that he is serving, and ably so, and very well, in a lot of the legislative district I used to serve in. Representative, good morning to you.
Morning, Jeff. Great to be with you.
Yeah, it's always great to have you, my friend. Now, House Bill 4002, at the Political Coffee Clatch, you revealed to us some realities about the funding and the way the money's going to flow on this thing that means it may not work in some places. Why don't you share that with the audience?
Yeah, I've got some serious concerns, and, you know, I would not have let the bill fail. I want people to know that. I would not have let the bill fail. But I really have to flag that this is not over. You know, this bill, it does recriminalize. It created a special type of misdemeanor for drugs. It has, you know, with the right law enforcement, people are either going to face jail time or go through supervised probation. But the problem that I have with this is the funding mechanism, the ongoing funding mechanism has not changed. The group that was put in charge of the ballot measure of 110 money, the money that was pulled from law enforcement and pulled from your schools to prop up drug addiction treatment and recovery, the group in charge of that funding does not believe in recriminalization and does not believe in required treatment.
Wow.
And would love nothing more than to prove that this failed. That, see, we told you recriminalization did not work. So that is a real dichotomy in this bill. And I look at that and I go, I don't think that the Democrats have really given up on the initial idea. I don't believe it. And so we're running the risk that, especially in some counties, they will not carry this out like the people think, like the people want to see. And and we'll be looking back a year from now, and we're still going to see this misery playing out on our streets. The only way that we can make sure that this changes is one thing we did right, we recriminalized. We can go after drug dealers now, but we have to change the funding so we support law enforcement, so we support our courts, and that we're supporting real addiction treatment and recovery. And that is completely missing out of this bill.
Now, you had a bill or an amendment to this bill to fix that, didn't you?
I did. I had three amendments, but I'll focus on two of them. One was accountability. So we have zero accountability on how effective our ballot measure 110 tax dollars are being used. In fact, we know that the Oregon Health Authority is trying to claw some of that money back. It went to pay home mortgages. One person who collected that money, a nonprofit, just used it to pay for the mortgage on their house.
Good grief.
There's a couple other businesses that just did not use the money in any demonstrated way, and so the OHA is trying to claw that back. What I said was, let's bring in a third party, and we will audit all these programs, and we'll measure how well they perform, and we'll use that when we're handing money out to these nonprofits. That was ignored. The other thing I had, and this actually matched the ballot measure that was going to be going up, the Max Williams ballot measure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It would have eliminated the Oversight and Accountability Council that's set up for ballot measure 110, and moved responsibility of all that money to the Alcohol, Drug, and Policy Commission, which reports to the governor, to really elevate it to more of an executive level, to really recognize the crisis that it is and do evidence-based investments in addiction treatment and recovery. And that was ignored as well.
So it seems to me that what you're saying is this thing is really set up to fail. Because of how the money flow, it's not going to get to the right places. They're not going to be able to build capacity to do the right things. So if that's the case and it fails, and say 2, 3, 4 years down the road, we still have this massive problem, what happens then?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm still committed to making sure that that does not happen, that we come back next year and we put more teeth into this. So I don't even want to think about that. All I can say is Oregonians cannot accept that. Don't just treat this, oh, well, we recriminalized, time to move on, no reason to change our vote. You have to remember how we got in this mess in the first place. And the fact that Republicans brought real change. We introduced real change last year that was completely ignored. The only reason that they begrudgingly did what they did this go around is because of overwhelming citizen outrage and demanding change and the threat of a ballot measure and the pressure Republicans put on. They begrudgingly did this, and they're not very committed to it.
Representative, so for these reasons, you voted no. But had it come down to a single vote, you said you would have voted yes to get it across the finish line, because you do see some value in this and that this is going to at least marginally move us in the right direction. And your hope then is that next session you can push it even further.
You got it. That's right. And I've spoken to my sheriffs and checked in with my DAs and county commissioners. I've got Marion County and Linn County. And they're skeptical about a lot of aspects of this bill. They're concerned about the funding mechanisms like I am, but they do feel, hey, this gives us more tools than we had, and we think we can do some good in our counties. And so I wasn't going to let it die for that.
But speaking of a bill that should die, Senate Bill 1583, there was a hearing yesterday in House Rules. Is that thing going to survive? Are the Dems going to pass it? Or are there things that can happen to slow it down and run out the clock so it doesn't pass?
There are things, and those are being worked. I'll just leave it at that. We are hoping this thing dies.
I hope and pray it does. I'm sending out text messages today to a number of pastors who are ready to light up their congregations on this issue. And like right now, to light them up, okay? And this is, the church has got to get involved in standing against this, because it's just, this is policy straight out of the pit of hell. But
It is awful.
Now, by the way, want to make sure that I extend the invitation to you again publicly, as I did at Coffee Clatch, for you and Jamie, your lovely wife who works with you closely in the legislature, to join us Saturday afternoon, this special end of session broadcast that Josh Michael and I are doing from Miller's Barbecue. Live audience, folks, we want you to come and show up. Representative Deal, I want you and Jamie to show up along with Senator Thatcher and Senator Linthicum and their spouses. Talk about this legislative session and talk about how it went and then where we go from here. Miller's Barbecue, 4 to 6. Can you commit to that?
I will be there, Jeff. And I'll say too, Senator Linthicum voted no on this bill as well for similar reasons as I did.
Yes, he did.
But I will be there, and I'll tell you too, you brought up my wife. I could not do this job without her.
She is fantastic.
She works as hard or harder than I do on this.
Yes, she does. Yeah. Yes, she does. Thank you, Representative Ed Deal, folks. The real deal, as we like to say. We'll see you on Saturday.
You bet. Thank you.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. I hope that interview with Representative Ed Deal gave you some hope that Republicans are being smart about how they're, at least in the legislative process, smart about how they are moving forward the last few days of the session. The Democrats want to get out of there tomorrow, or want to end the session tomorrow or Friday. Okay, so it kind of depends on what Republicans decide to do. If this doctrine of demon, as I call it, out of the pit of hell, Senate Bill 1583, goes any further. I'm going to fire people up today. You need to fire people up today to make comment. You can still make comment online. You can submit testimony against this bill online today. Actually, for today and tomorrow. All right? It's really important. But I think you also understand the game that's been played here on the Measure 110 fix is only maybe a marginally different change from where we are today. And Ed Deal lays out the realities of that. That was reality, folks. The people who are putting out the $211 million that's going to be estimated to make House Bill 4002 work. They're not into the treatment thing. They're not into it at all. They're not into funding more courts and sheriffs and DAs to deal with what you got to do under 4002. So that's why it's not likely to succeed. And as Senator Linthicum pointed out yesterday, the incredible stuff that's going to happen. I mean, folks, you don't go to jail in this bill unless the person who's being arrested wants to go to jail. And there's never going to be any fine paid or levied. Today, at least, they get a $100 ticket. Back then, they wouldn't. By the way, GL, thanks for the great Tommy Tuberville quotes. Soon, we're going to be about 150 people coming up here saying, where's our damn money we paid in? I could have put my Social Security money 40 years into the market and probably be worth $8 to $10 million, but the federal government wasted it. What is he talking about? Well, the Biden administration, it has been leaked, wants to change Social Security to a social benefit system. Instead of you getting the money directly into your account, you get vouchers for things like food distribution, medical and warehouse style housing. Is that something you want to be a part of? Corby, thanks for the email on the unconstitutional TSA groping Americans. It's while the border is wide open. Yeah, you get on an airplane, you get groped, and the border's wide open. They get to fly without any ID, the illegals. Richard writes, the reason that Utah, in answering my question, and hang on, Josh, I'll get to you in just a second here. The reason the conservative, so-called conservative Utah, it was so close between Haley and Trump, is it because about 3 million Californians have moved there, bringing their leftist woke values with them and got to vote in the primary. Doug writes about Wednesday program of Super Tuesday. Why did Haley do so well in Utah? Inbreeding polygamy, women vote Democrat. Jeez, Doug. There is no underestimating the intelligence of the American public. Isn't it strange Democrats won't condemn pedophilia like they condemn gun ownership and free speech? Good point. There is no political solution to a spiritual problem. Good things are destroyed easily, but not easily created. That's what progressivism is. It's progressive destruction. If politics give life meaning to us, we're conned into a secular political idolatry. Let's go to Josh, who's on the line. Josh, good morning, brother.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for having me today. Great show, great interview with Ed Deal. We're super blessed to have him representing us and speaking truth to power, more importantly, shining light on some of the darker elements of our legislation. So good for that. A couple things I just wanted to point out in regards to this weekend. We're going to be simulcasting on X at Noncompliant US. So we'll be able to have people call in the show or talk into the show on X, as well as I think we're going to do call-ins as well as doing live interviews.
Yes, we are.
For 2 hours. Go ahead.
And we're going to do live interviews, not just with legislators, but also with people in the audience.
100%. Anybody that wants to show up, we'll have an interview. We want to hear your opinion. One quick little tidbit in regards to the Vermont election results with Nikki Haley winning. In the state of Vermont, they have the ability, the Democrats can actually vote in the Republican primary in Vermont. So that's why she won. It was mostly Democrats that pushed that over.
So are you thinking that maybe this is the Democrat version of Rush Limbaugh's Operation Chaos?
Yes.
Maybe?
Could be.
All right. Friends, join Josh and I this Saturday from 4 to 6 for a live two-hour broadcast, end-of-session recap broadcast with Senator Linthicum, Representative Deal, their spouses, maybe Senator Thatcher. She's not fully committed, but she wants to be there. Come and join us as a live audience at Miller's Barbecue. Come hungry. It's from 4 to 6. Support Matthew Miller and his great wife and his team there. And let's celebrate, hopefully, some wins And hopefully we'll have more to celebrate, especially with Senate Bill 1583 that we hope will die between now and the end of the legislative session. Friends, I want to conclude, and again, this is this coming Saturday, come as a live broadcast, and you can also listen on X. We're going to simulcast on X, which was formerly Twitter, at Noncompliant US. That's Josh's website, and we're going to take call-ins from you from X, okay? You can call in regularly. We'll give out those phone numbers that we have here and from X. By the way, PacWest Lobby, great lobby group. They're fighting right now in the legislative session for sanity. I know that's hard to believe. In how the legislature ends up with the Democrats in charge. They're a great group. If you need help with government, they're your group. Go to pwlobby.com, pwlobby.com. I want to finish the show with yesterday evening, over at the Ike Box, we had in the ballroom, we had a celebration of life of my former lobby partner, a marvelous man, a longtime lobbyist, Oregon's longest serving lobbyist, Ted Hughes, who passed away the day after Valentine's Day. I had the great privilege of arriving at his home that morning on February 15th, praying over him, and then later that day, he slipped into the arms of Jesus, as I said last night. A great group of lobbyists who told wonderful stories about this man who had no enemies. We had lobbyists and we had legislators there last night from the left, from the right, who told wonderful stories about this man's impact on them as lobbyists and how they conduct their affairs with honor and integrity as Ted Hughes did. Oh, that I could be remembered as well as Ted Hughes was, and the impact on his on other people's lives as he had. What a wonderful man. It was a marvelous opportunity to celebrate his life. Ted Hughes, we will miss you, friend, but I get to see you again in heaven. How cool. All right, friends. Nikki Haley drops out in a few minutes. Ho-hum. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Be blessed, each and every one of you. Keep fighting for everything you believe in.